Dave Moore on Today FM
podcast.
Wayne and Sophia, hi, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
First off, I'm just such a huge Lord of the Rings fan and such a fan of the Rings of Power. I loved series one. I've seen a little bit of series two and it's just incredible. No spoilers, of course, for any of my audience who's listening right now. But you guys are amazing. Like, it might be one of the most beautiful relationships I've seen on a screen. It's so full of respect and love and the chemistry is palpable. I love you two.
Oh, that's a lovely thing to say. And you know what? It is. I find it interesting that you see a couple on TV, particularly in a fantasy show as well, and with the domesticity that comes with them. There's no like affair happening. You know what I mean? There's nothing. We are just solid. It's like Carl and Susan Kennedy off Neighbours. You know what I mean? It's
amazing,
like a solid
reference. Carl and Susan living in a mountain mine. Well, you know, it's perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And what's it like for you then to play this couple, Sophia? I mean, do you feel you're able to be this solid, no pun intended, but rock solid couple?
Yeah, I do. Because, you know, it starts off screen and, you know, we get that question a lot. What's it like off screen? Is it, you know, and it is exactly the same. You know, the friendship was built first and now we just have this open playing field of respect and love and friendship and safety. And so it feels like that's really transferring on screen. And just as Owain said, you know, there's no kind of like hierarchy. It's not one that's stronger than the other. And there's this demure wife and, you know, all this... you know, struck down husband. It's just this, well, power couple. Yeah, I said it, if you like. And that, you know, there's so much love and respect and equality. They both want the same things. And it's just a fight to the top, really. And it's a lot of fun doing it with this fool.
I'd say so. And surprisingly, you're not a 400-year-old mountain dwarf. I can see you today. You look fantastic.
No, I'm not bad for a 400.
How long does that transformation actually take?
2.5 hours. Oh. It's 2.5 hours. Now, don't listen to this one.
Right.
She says it's 3 or 4 hours.
It is.
She likes to exaggerate a lot. It's 2.5 hours. Solid work.
I was just about to say, like, why would you need to exaggerate? 2.5 hours is a long time to get ready, right?
It's a lot to have at the beginning of your day at 3 a.m. in the morning and then 45 minutes to take it all off in the evening.
Well, that, Sophia, because that was my next question was, like, obviously, you know, first of all, your hair is just flames in this thing. It's just so amazing.
Yeah.
But you've got so much going on as well. Like, what's the deconstruction process like when you've... Because at the beginning of the day, you must feel, Sophia, like, you know, okay, I'm going in. I'm going to do the day. But at the end of the day, you must be exhausted. And it's like, I've got to sit in the chair again for
how
long?
Are you sure you've not seen me on set? Because honestly, I start so kind of like lifted. The last thing to go on is the contact lenses. I feel fierce. I feel dwarven. I feel good looking. And by the end, I'm like, the first thing to come off is the wig.
That's after the slump at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, I have a 3 o'clock slump.
Everyone does. Everyone does.
And he loses a sense of humor at 3 o'clock. No, don't bother. Don't bother. And that's when she goes, I want this. I want this. Now.
I only talk to you like that, FYI. I don't speak to anybody else. I'm very kind. But yeah, by the end, he always knows it and announces it on set. Oh, she's gone.
She's gone.
We've lost Sophia. But yeah, I think, the wig's the first thing to come off and suddenly you feel a hell of a lot lighter by the end of the day.
I would
but
say
it's
so.
Yeah, but it's good fun playing, but it's definitely tiring carrying her around.
Yeah. And Owain, I need to be careful how I word this, but I think maybe as a Celtic brother I can get away with this. Do you think your North Walesness helps you in any way to feel a kinship with a mining dwarf?
I think it does. Yeah, no, you're okay. Okay. You're okay. You're okay there. You haven't crossed any lines. We're fine. Yes, I do. I do because I grew up in a village called Rhiwlas on the side of a mountain, which is right near Snowdon and right near Bethesda. Mm. And my family in the past have worked in the Slate Quarry, and you know, it's all around us. There's that working classness to North Wales that I instantly relate with when putting on the dwarf getup.
Yeah. No, that, you know, that does make sense.
And the whole set of surrounding me, you know, it feel like, right, okay, we're here to work.
Yes, and that's kind of the sense I got, and that's why I wanted to ask the question but not offend anybody. But,
but you did well.
Yeah, thank you. Some voice on you, Sophia, as well, and Deezer sings a song or two to the mine. Absolutely brilliant. But can I just ask you, didn't you audition for the role of Deezer 2 days before you gave birth, proving that you are, among other things, a super mum?
I did. Yeah.
Was it 2 days?
2 days away from the due date.
The due date. She waited a bit longer, did she?
She went a bit longer, but it was 2 days away from the due date.
Wow.
So I remember waddling in to lovely Jay, Fiona and Belen. And she was in, the midwives were all on speed dial. And I toddled in. I thought, no, you've got to be in it to win it as an actor. So so yes, and that small little baby who we see in episode one,
that's
Blink
right.
And You'll Miss Her, but $200 she ain't for that, thrilled. she is now turning 5
no
in a week and a half.
Way.
Yeah, in a week and a half's time.
What's the theme of the birthday party? Presumably it's Dwarven Queens.
Obviously. It went from Bluey to a jungle theme. She now wants to be a cheetah because it's the fastest of all the jungle animals.
My favourite animal. She's a lady of great taste.
I'm still very much a mum and I'm very proud of her and she's great. She's grown up around the whole thing. So excited when she sees this one on. Terrified him when she was of him when she was born.
Oh, yeah. Right.
But now that she's grown up, she sees him on FaceTime. Grin from ear to ear.
Amazing. And I've read some stuff when I was getting ready for this interview. And I did read a lot of just mentions between the two of you, particularly you, Owain, about tea. Are you as big a tea drinker as I am?
I'm a coffee drinker.
Oh, okay.
Coffee's my thing. Flat whites.
Flat whites.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, anything with coffee in.
All right.
But you know what? I do love a cup of tea when I have one.
Yes.
I never make one for myself, but if I'm given a cup of tea, I'm like, oh, I do love a cup of tea.
There is a theory that if somebody makes you a cup of tea, it's like 80% tastes better.
Better.
Doesn't it? Yeah. Especially when they really, you know, when they make it a strong tea. I do like a strong tea.
I like my strong and milky.
Strong and milky. Okay, well, you and I would be friends because I actually drink one of the biggest possible cups, which is this giant Sports Direct mug. It's literally...
That's a bucket.
It's a bucket of tea. That's the only way to go through it. Strong and milky. That's exactly how I like it. Sophia and Owain, it's an absolute honour to talk to the two of you. Thank you so much for what you've done for the Rings
pleasure.
Of Power. Love every second of it.
Thank you. You're
all
a joy. Thank you so much.
Bye, guys. Yeah.
Bye. Dave Moore on Today FM.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, guys. Nori Brandyfoot and Poppy Proud Fellow. Good to see you.
Oh, good to see you.
Of course. It is Markella and Megan.
Very long
twinning.
Day.
You're twinning amazingly.
Yeah.
Listen, it's a huge honour to talk to you. I'm a massive Lord of the Rings fan, a massive Rings of Power fan, so it's just amazing to get the chance. And I'm sure it's pure coincidence, right? But listen to this. Today is just an amazing day of alliteration. So I had Charles and Charlie, Leon and Lloyd, Markella and Megan. And I used it for 21 years. I did a radio show with Dermot and Dave. And now for the last year, it's just me. But like, this is everywhere in my life.
Wow.
Amazing. That's going to follow you. That's going to follow you. For a long
and that's
time.
Really pleasing as well.
What does that mean?
I don't know, but I like it.
That's got to mean something.
Philosophically, there's some meaning behind that. We'll look into it afterwards.
Yeah, whatever it means.
We'll let you know.
Listen, can I start with a word and how much I, as an Irishman, absolutely love your accents on this show. They're so great.
Thank you.
Look, I know they're not Irish. They're Irish-ish, but they're Harfoot accents and they're amazing.
Thank you so much. That's a credit to our dialect coach.
Yes, Leith.
Leith McPherson.
She'll be thrilled with that comment.
Good, well,
she's
please
amazing.
Pass it on because I just, from the moment it happened in the first series, I was just like, this is incredible. Because
Thank you.
You think back to what, I mean, it's back, it's forward, it's the third age in the movies, but we think back to when we saw them in the movies and Sam's accent was so particular and Frodo's was so particular and you had Scottish and you had, you know, you've all these different kinds of sounds and then all of a sudden the Harfoots come along and you're like, oh, wow, like, this is brilliant.
No, I was going to say it's true. I think it was very daunting. I found it quite a daunting thing to when I heard that we were going to be learning an accent that had an Irish lilt, like a slight Irish lilt, because obviously you want to make sure that you're getting that right. So and it's not distract, like that you're really focusing on not being distracting and detracting from the story. Yes. So yeah, that means a lot. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank
not
you.
Not at all. And I'm wondering, Markella, do the costumes and particularly the feet help kind of transport you into the character of Nori?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like even before I get to set, because you start that process like 3 hours before you get to set. So even before you actually arrive, I feel so into, just so kind of rooted in the character because it really adds so much. And that's, again, a testament to the amazing crew that we work with. So, yeah, it really helps set you up well for the rest of the day, especially the feet. The feet really are. The creme de la creme.
They're beautiful. They're amazing.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
And Megan, from the few episodes that I've seen, because I haven't seen everything, Poppy is going on a bit of a journey herself. That's got to be a nice role to play, right?
Yeah. I love playing Poppy. I think she's so cool. I think she's great. Like, I love sort of dropping into her character as well. And I feel like I'm getting to know her as well. And the lovely thing about the writing is that you sort of think that you're beginning to know her. Like for me as an actor, I feel like I'm beginning to know her. And then all of a sudden something happens and you're like, oh, okay, interesting. But there's definitely a lot of self-discovery and a lot of growth for her this season, which is so incredible to be able to play that kind of journey, that kind of trajectory. Yeah.
And Markella, Nori is so committed to helping the stranger, as he's called, despite, I guess, at the beginning of season 2, not really knowing, you know, who or what he is. Is Nori just operating on gut, on instinct?
Yeah, honestly, you know just as much as I do what's going on down there. I'm joking. She really has to trust her instinct. And sometimes it's incredibly irritating for her as well, just as much as it is for Poppy and the stranger, because she really is at odds with her own kind of belief system as well and what she's pursuing. But she really is just trying to uncover her purpose whilst also helping him and trying to be the best friend that she can be. So I think there's a lot of trusting her gut, or attempting to anyway.
And Megan, Poppy is a bit of a Google Maps in Middle Earth. I wonder, in real life, what's Megan like? Are you good at directions, or do you just rely on technology all the time?
She's so good.
Really?
It's wild.
I tend to like remember where I am. That's about it, really.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like I'll sort of have to.
Yeah. You're just dropping mental pins everywhere.
Yeah, like. Yeah, exactly. I'll Google a place, obviously, to get there, but then I'll kind of remember which direction I've come from. And then if I come back again, I remember actually there was a place that Daniel Wayman and I were driving. And we were just going to this random village to just sort of like hang out and have lunch.
Right.
And then we drove past, it was the middle of nowhere, and I was like, I know this village. I've like had dinner in that hotel. And it was literally the middle of nowhere. It was so random and so bizarre. And I was like, I genuinely remember that. And then texted all of my family and I was like, yeah, random things like that keep happening to me.
That's
great. But I am quite good at directions, yeah.
That's good. Well, it informs your character then. And for both of you, is it exciting to think that you are, you know, you're going to attract a new generation of Tolkien lovers with the Rings of Power, who will then perhaps graduate onto the films and hopefully onto the books too?
Yeah, it's so exciting. I mean, the books and the films inspired me kind of growing up. So it would be a huge honor if this series in any way inspired a younger generation to go and have a look at them and revisit, because I do think that the themes are just going to continue to be relevant as they have been for so many years. So it's surreal, and I hope that it does inspire a passion for the books and the films too.
Yeah, I think it definitely will. And Megan, was shooting this in London a very different experience versus the New Zealand? I mean, like, you've got the radical landscape in New Zealand to kind of feed into everything, but then I think if you're shooting in London, maybe you get a chance to spend more time with other actors or see their sets. Or is it a balance?
Yeah, it's a great question. New Zealand was so wonderful to us, and it gave us a really incredible foundation, and all the people who worked on that project, just so grateful for that kind of connection. And I think that work that we did and that foundation that is there was definitely infiltrated through this season and with the project moving. We filmed a lot on in Tenerife this season. And what was really nice is that Tenerife wasn't trying, the landscape wasn't trying to be New Zealand. It was definitely very much its own. And that really lends itself to where the characters find themselves as well. They're in completely unknown lands. And so it was really lovely to get to experience that with new people as well, a new crew, and to sort of broaden that community of what this show is and work with new people.
Brilliant. And Marquette has an Irish radio show and broadcast to an Irish audience. Did I hear you say that you'd like to act alongside Saoirse Ronan at one point?
I mean, that's a big, yeah. I would be.
Sorry, I should immediately say I have no way of making this happen, please.
I'm yeah. Like, are you telling me something?
She's here, pants come around.
No, I just think she is the most, I admire everything she does and her choices, and I love that she doesn't need to have this huge social media presence either, but she just manages to completely transform in every with every character she does, and she's just made this film that I can't wait to see as well. That's coming out. So everything she does, I'm a huge fan of, and she just seems like the loveliest person as well from. Yeah, what I've seen her. So yeah, it would be a dream. It is a dream.
Well, I've spoken to her once and I can tell you she is as lovely as she seems, which is brilliant. And I reckon if either of you were to land a role that required an Irish accent, it's already nailed thanks to the Harford experience. So do it.
Thank you, the three
of you and Saoirse.
Thank you, that would be amazing. Yeah.
Well, listen, guys, congratulations on the Rings of Power Season 2. It's absolutely incredible what I've seen of it so far. I know my audience is going to love it. And thank you for taking the time to talk to me today.
Thank you so much. This has been so lovely.
It's been really
Thank you.
Fun.
Thank
you.
Dave Moore
on Today FM.
Hello. Hi, Dave.
Charles and Charlie, how are you guys?
Very good.
Thanks. How are you?
I am great. What is it like? I'll ask this to both of you. What is it like to be part of such a massive thing that means so much to so many people like me? I mean, there must be big pressure, right?
Well, you would expect there is. And of course there is kind of out there somewhere, but you can't think about that when you're doing the work. And no. I think it's actually quite easy to let that slip from your shoulders because we're so involved in what we're doing. Mm. It's only when you step back and look at it from the outside, it reminds you. Of course, we're hugely, hugely chuffed to be in it. But when you step back and you see the scale of it, you go, oh wow, it's quite something.
I think it's more exciting than anything, because like you do a lot of work and you put a lot of effort into it, and you kind of know that people were probably going to watch it, and it's like you don't always know that when you're filming
something,
true, yeah, and you're putting all this work in, so it's nice to be able to share it with people. Yeah,
well, we're very glad that you're doing the work and sharing it with us. Charles, Celebrimbor is a character that I think wants to do good for the world and perhaps to be remembered, honourable ambitions. A lot of us have that. But all is not as it seems for poor Celebrimbor, is it?
Honourable ambitions is a very nice way of putting it. I think he can be beyond that. I think his ambition can eat him up a little, a lot. But no, all is not well currently. Well, it starts out okay. But then
things will change.
Comes through the gates.
Someone just rocks up.
Someone just turns up on
a
horse.
Party.
But well, he is, you know, his intentions are good. His intentions start out as honourable ones. Yes.
Yeah, I do feel that. I mean, look, you know, obviously we're I've seen a few episodes. You guys know everything, but obviously we're talking for an audience who hasn't seen anything yet. So you know, we'll keep everything as vague as we can. But I suppose it is known that Celebrimbor is going to be manipulated by a certain person or three people as Charlie's character. It's got to be fun, Charlie, to play possibly the most complex character in the entire Middle-earth universe.
Yeah, it's been really fun. It has. I've tried to keep a sense of continuity between all three, between Halbrand and then Annatar. And then we kind of watch as the season progresses, as these two characters keep interacting and the ideas keep flowing, they slowly fall down a rabbit hole. And Annatar, without really knowing it, kind of morphs into Sauron. And his more Sauron-y traits emerge. He becomes less kind of angelic and And at the start, he's a bringer of good things and good ideas and gifts, you know. And then it kind of descends into this desire for control. But they're all linked, and it's all a it's a path between all three characters, even though it, on the exterior they're different.
Yeah, interesting that you verbalize it that way. Even that, you know, almost like Annatar can't control the Sauronness that happens. Whereas, you know, in the back of my mind, I'd be thinking, well, Halbrand knows exactly what he must do to become Annatar, and to be exactly what he must do to become Sauron. But yet, it's almost like he's not in complete control.
I think it makes the story more interesting, because the creation of Annatar is within Sauron's control, and so same with Halbrand. But I found it quite interesting if this notion of control, which he seeks so desperately, that he is not fully a full master of it, even with himself at this point, and that his it's kind of a representation of how he descends into this point where he will stop at nothing to heal and reorder Middle Earth.
Also, it's that the fact that I like the way you said that Annatar's not in control of the Sauronness coming out. But that's sort of brought about by the fact that this relationship is not purely puppet and puppet master.
No, it's not.
It's when he's challenged, Annatar's challenged by Celebrimbor. Celebrimbor might say no, or I refuse, or, you know, which makes him angry.
Mm. Yeah.
And similar, and likewise the other way around.
It's a two-way street.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And Charles, look, you've been parts of big shows before, but the scope of this particular show, I mean, there's all this talk of it's the most expensive, blah, blah, whatever. But I mean, just the... surely even being on the set while you are acting, you know, with another actor for, you know, much of the scenes, but the scope of the entire project must be there for you to witness.
It is. Every day was extraordinary. I mean, even once our set was, you know, obviously you're in there for many months, and it becomes home in a way. There was an excellent feeling on that set. Because it was, for a start, we were shooting in order, which is almost unheard of. Our stuff was all chronological. And I know that that crew and everybody working on that set was having a good time telling the story.
Yeah.
And it was a really, really great... But this is because all this amazing stuff you're surrounded with, the props, the costumes, the art department, all of it is really... extraordinarily top notch, and done from the heart and the detail, all these things, you know.
Well,
and it's all there to enrich it and to enrich our performances and to enrich us and everybody who wants to make use of it. It's it was a very, very generous place to work.
That's great to hear.
Very much so.
Yeah.
And Charlie, we'll go back in time a little bit, because it's just one of the things I want to know, is it true or not? Is it true that you were already Halbrand and already acting before you knew that Halbrand was Sauron?
Yeah, I had filmed, it was the start of episode 3 when I found out. So we'd done the first 2 episodes, and then they told me Halbrand was Sauron.
Wow.
So yeah, I'd put quite a lot on screen without knowing. So that was hard to adjust to as an actor, but I think they had their reason for it.
Well, it probably fed into a more, maybe a more authentic performance if you just had no idea. I mean, that was what Halbrand was trying to do.
Yeah, I think that was the intention, was to make it as convincingly Halbrand as possible.
Yeah.
So I understand it from that perspective, yeah.
And Charles, did you actually get lessons in writing Elvish?
What, because I did, shame I've never actually written any Elvish in the show. But I did, yeah. In New Zealand, there was a calligrapher. And I love that stuff.
Yeah.
So I've always loved pen and ink and drawing and sketching and all that stuff. And I love writing. And so to have this opportunity to write it and to learn how to do it was great. I mean, it was wonderful. But yes, as I said, I think you see me perhaps finishing something.
Yes.
Finishing a letter, but you never actually see me writing something out for it. But I can do it if needs be.
Did you become an expert smelter? Could I release you into a real forge now?
Sure. I wouldn't release me fully.
Some supervision required.
Yes, some supervision certainly would be required.
And Charlie, are you a bit of like a Lord of the Rings super fan like I am? Did you get the Lego Barad-dûr?
I never got it. No, but
Oh.
it's because I was talking about it with someone because my son is still too young for Lego. But there will come a time very soon when I will be purchasing that
Well,
immediately.
my 14-year-old and I are currently halfway through the build, which was our summer project. We thought we'd have it finished by the time he goes back to school, but we're not quite there yet. But it is.
How big is it?
Is it,
It's
how
it's
big?
like it's 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 78 centimeters tall when Sauron's eye is at the top of the tower. It
Very
is
cool.
huge. 10,000 pieces.
Wow.
Yeah. And very quickly, who was the biggest elvish swot on set? Like, who wanted to impress the most out of all the actors? Can you remember?
All the Elvish. Well, Robert Arameo is the most knowledgeable, I would
Oh,
say,
yeah.
of
He
all
loves
things
Elvish.
Elvish.
Okay.
He's obsessed with
He's an expert.
Which is very Elrond.
Very Elrond, in fact, it is, yes. Well, I should mention, obviously, as an Irish radio station and an Irish audience here, one of your Irish co-stars, Ciarán Hinds, of course, is in this. Now, in the few episodes I've seen, he hasn't shown up yet, but what a legend of a person and a great actor.
Yeah, and he will be showing up, and it's such a amazing thing for us to have actors like him to be a part of this show. It's a, and it's really special.
Well, honestly, gentlemen, I can't tell you how much this show means to me, how much the movies mean to me. So to have it continue and be able to bring my kid through and everything is just amazing. So thank you so much for taking the time for chatting to me today,
Means
and
a lot.
congratulations on the Rings of Power.
Thanks
Thank
a lot.
You very much. You too. Thanks for your
Take care.
time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Dave Moore on Today FM Podcast.